Wouldn't it be great if three idiots picked apart each episode of your favorite podcast?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if we discussed the newest episode, ongoing theories, and predictions for what comes next?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if they didn't ruin the podcast at all and kept everything spoiler-free?
We don't do that. You've been warned.
Welcome to We Do That, a Taz Fancast. I'm your co-host, Chris.
And I'm your co-host and 30 under 30 Adventure Zone Fancast luminary, Jake.
And I'm your other co-host, Colin.
This week's episode, the Spooktacular Live Show.
Yes, and before we jump, well, I guess this is jumping in. Synopsis, they have a live show, they do some shit. It's pretty good. That's what I can remember.
One of your weaker rememberings, but I mean, you're not wrong.
I think that's probably Colin's favorite thing, right? Because he did technically remember. Technically correct.
I was going to say useful. Spooktacular, and then Chris used spooktacular, and I couldn't come up with another word.
Put you on the spot and you couldn't hang. Can't hang with the big dogs.
No, I don't do that whole thinking on my feet stuff.
And that's why we all sit down when we record.
I had a long synopsis planned out, and it was just spooktacular again and again and again.
Just as long as we needed to fill time.
Right.
Yeah. So I made a joke about sitting down, but I did recently buy a sit-stand desk for my new office, and I was thinking about recording this podcast while standing. But I think that might be weird.
Like right now?
Well, I'm currently sitting.
Well, now you have to stand.
No. I think we need to do that next episode. Because this is just a shitty experiment to introduce it in the middle.
Uh-huh. Right.
So you just do it next episode.
No, well.
Next episode. Next well, episode, Chris stands.
Yeah, but we might have actual stuff to talk about next episode.
That's true. This one, we do need the filler because it's going to be light.
As evidenced by us talking about Chris's standing desk.
I'm saying, listen, it's supposed to be good for my health.
No,
I'm trying
is.
To make moves.
But
this podcast is going to live forever.
And so I think I could really see you getting super invested and engaged. And because you're standing up, you're gesticulating and you're moving around and you're doing other things that you do when you stand up and get excited about podcasts.
I'm going to have to buy a podcast yo-yo to use while I podcast, you know?
Or you could just use a tape measure.
Listen, Jake, I have edited more of that tape measure out of our fucking podcast. I don't even know what are you measuring all the time? You have an apartment that you've already furnished. What are you measuring for? Put it away. What's it doing? You don't need that. Everything's the same size it was 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so Colin, you told us you had some thoughts about this episode, so let's start there.
Well, wait a minute. Chris mentioned podcast yo-yo. I wanna break down what a podcast yo-yo is, and if we can call it a po-yo.
Of course we can. We can do anything. It's just something to sort of keep you busy, and then you like when you go on one of your monologues, I just go ahead and walk the dog a little bit and sort of let that happen. And then while Jake's going on his rant about how we all should be more fans of the podcast and like nicer about shit, then I'll do the thing where I do the swing set and it goes back and forth. You know, you make the triangle out of the string and then it sort of...
Good news. It doesn't look like Poyo is hate speech. Wasn't sure.
That would have been a good maybe pre-asking.
I didn't know you were going to bring out the podcast yo-yo.
I mean, you didn't have to bring us back to it until you sort of proofed it, like put it through L&R and stuff.
That's... You know? I'm sorry, what? L&R?
Legal and regulatory.
Huh, interesting. We always go R&L.
Regulatory and legal?
Yeah.
Nerds.
It's reverse alphabetical order, which is how we like to do it.
Like all adults categorize things.
Right.
You know what? If we listed it by the alphabet backwards.
Well, that way
they're good at counting, so they can't be good at letters too.
That's tough. It's tough.
It's true. So true. No, my only real thought on this episode is I think that the live shows should have their own podcast feed.
Keep them out of the stream.
Yeah, because A, if I ever want to go to listen to them, it takes forever to find them. And B, all like half of their content these days are live episodes they previously recorded. And I'd like them to stick to a 2-week like actual story schedule.
Yeah, I mean, from a like a UX experience, I would certainly appreciate putting them in a different feed. Just because I was listening to a lot of Old Balance in the car recently, and they ran on that string of when both Griffin and Travis had babies, and there was a lot of live eps in there that I needed to skip through because I just wanted to sort of do story while I was driving. And that was frustrating. They're never going to get to a purely 2-week content thing. Like, that's the whole point. Give up that one right now.
Well, I as frustrated as I am by that, I understand it. But like, did they tell us a live show was coming this week, or did they just drop it on us?
They just dropped it, but I don't think they often tell us about it.
Well, I mean,
it's Halloween. It's so spooky.
Well, sure, but when you're at a point in the Amnesty story that you're waiting to see what comes next. At least during like the Suffering Game, he told us, "Hey, we're going to be dropping in some live shows because we're going to have our kids."
Right.
And then, of course, they dropped in that like 3-hour Flophouse Gang D&D session.
Yeah.
As well.
Right.
So maybe they do have a history of not telling us. Yeah. So I don't know. It's like, I'd like to be able to temper my expectations ahead of time so that when I see it come. What?
Temper your temper.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Like a fine chocolate.
Like the finest of chocolates.
Nice.
So I saw a new Adventure Zone was out, got kind of excited. Saw it wasn't part of Amnesty, got a little bit disappointed, and I think it's one of their better live shows. I thought it was a great episode. Okay,
I just need to pause there, because Colin just said that he was excited for it to be an Amnesty episode, which is a huge turn.
Well, so I could prepare to complain about it.
I do, so I will say this. I think Colin and I might be in similar boats, and I very much want Amnesty episodes to come out because I'm at that point where I want to know what the story does. Like, they've engaged me with the story. They got me. It's good. I want to see how this wraps up. There are too many questions. I think I'm struggling with the process a little bit, but that's maybe a Chris thing, and he's working on that. But I do want them to keep progressing in the story, and especially that I think the last couple episodes have sort of set up what will be the final like reconciliation of the arc. We're clearly at bigger picture kind of stuff. So not getting an Amnesty episode this week was extra hurtful, because I feel like they were really building momentum of like 2 episodes where they were sort of, Jake, as you well laid out last time, putting together the clues for a mystery and really starting to drop those hints and weave that narrative together, and not being able to get that wrap up was a bummer.
Yeah. Now it's another month between episodes, which just kills momentum.
Yeah, and so I know we talk about this offline pretty frequently, but have we talked here about they all quit their jobs to podcast full time?
Yeah, it seemed interesting that, I mean, I know they're doing other endeavors. You know, they have to record all of Trolls 2.
Right.
Which
they got the second and possibly third graphic novels in the works.
Right. So like, there's a lot of shit going on. I get it, but like, how are you less regular with the production schedule once you all no longer have jobs?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right, Jake. We have talked about it offline. I don't know if we've talked about it here. And I, you know, I want to not hold that against them. I get people have lives. We very frequently miss our release schedules.
True.
That happens. But I do think.
Yeah, no. And I think it just gets to the fact that, you know, this lack of consistency is starting to hurt Amnesty.
Yeah.
And it was a place where I think you're right. Like it is less consistent now than it was in Imbalance. And, you know, I absolutely understand life being challenging and getting in the way. And I'm not critiquing that aspect of it, but it seems like, you know, if you need to set out some time to maybe can an episode or two and just have it ready so that we aren't constantly sort of bouncing back and forth between characters and stories, maybe that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think there are, you know, and I wonder if that it becomes a matter of, like, when you get to larger... So let's. This is a podcast, and obviously it is produced by the three guys. But I wonder if you take it in sort of stride of what if this was a different creative endeavor? If this was a TV show or something? TV shows are all recorded in one go, or not so much in one go, but they do like a, you know, 4 weeks of filming, and that produces a series, you know, six episodes of TV, and you keep doing that until it exists. I wonder if with the way Balance is going. If they wouldn't be well suited to doing like the in-between times when they're in between seasons, actually recording the next season, do it all in one stretch, take a month, record all your episodes, you know, do it like a job, 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, and put it all to tape and then spend a whole week editing it together. And that'd be exhausting, but then it would all exist and then release it on a schedule. And in the meantime, start dropping these live shows and have, you know, maybe line it up with Max FunCon when he can do some fun other stuff to throw it in and sort of the one-off things. Because I think I felt like in Balance, there was a lot more opportunity for audience engagement. They were relying a little bit more heavily on the like, hey, tweet at us and you'll be in the next episode. You could be an NPC. And I don't see that happening nearly as much in Amnesty. And I wonder if that's going to happen anywhere further. And I don't know that they would necessarily be hindered by recording something all in one go and not giving us, the listeners, time to process sort of 2 weeks at a time. If they want to keep a two-week release schedule, that's fine. You know, that can be your thing. But why not put it all to tape, you know, take 2 months and build out season three?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or even do it, you know, if they didn't want to commit to something like that, do it a chapter at a time, a monster hunt at a time.
Right. Yeah, and if they could get through all of the water monster in one go and then put those three episodes out or four episodes out.
Right. And I mean, something like that.
If it's, yeah, I know. I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, I definitely wouldn't have as much trouble going to a Balance live show as long as it didn't keep interrupting this story arc. You know, yeah,
if it lines
how
up
long,
larger,
how long have we been, have we been on this, you know, Goatman, Weird Snow, Mothman arc, and how long have we, you know, is it just getting extended because we keep going to live shows?
That's a good question. I haven't actually looked. I'm going to bring up my Spotify feed real quick and look at it. But it's because we're four episodes into whatever we're calling this hunt. We don't even know what we're hunting, really, but the sort of Goatman sequence.
Well, okay, so
I call that band name.
The Goatman sequence?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
So, I think since episode 14,
yeah.
So 14, 15, 16, and 17. And in that time, they've dropped two live shows as well.
But I think, you know, episode 13, so episode 12 was a lunar interlude. Episode 13 was... kind of nothing.
Yeah, right.
And then 14, 15, 16, 17 have been show episodes. So we're now six episodes into what might be this chapter, you know, five or six into this chapter. And haven't gotten to the full sequence of it yet. Whereas we sort of wrapped up the water monster in 3, 4.
That feels right.
Yeah, and I mean, it's something this, if we say it started at the tail end of episode 13, I think it's when he got the first call from the Mothman. That was August 9th.
Yeah.
Which was 3 months ago now.
Yeah, I would bet, and I, you know, if I was them looking at this, I don't think there's any reason to wrap this up before Christmas. So I'd say stretch this out until Christmas time and hit a new arc in January.
Oh, yeah.
But that's fucking wild.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's one thing if it was like some of the early arcs in Balance where there's just a lot more to go through. It just took longer to get through the Crystal Kingdom and you end up being there. Like, that's one thing because it's all story.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And I think so much of this is, I think it's sort of the same thing that happened during the Suffering Game when everybody was having their kids, and that it's all about setting expectations. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that time, Griffin, I think, did a pretty good job of saying, like, hey, we're going to have a couple live shows while we're out with our kids. And then they also included, like, the Flophouse show without warning. And it's you've set this expectation already that you're going to deliver an episode every 2 weeks, which I get it isn't necessarily easy. But then if you're not going to deliver it on the same story that people are expecting, like I think even if they had just tweeted about it, had communicated it, I wouldn't be as annoyed with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely does them a disservice to sort of ruin the momentum they have going for a little while. And I think it's fun to have them show up at the holidays. It's sort of like when your favorite sitcom would go on a break and do like a random holiday episode or whatever. That's not necessarily related to the overarching plot of that season or what have you.
Yes, but in that case, though, it's still typically the same, you know, and that gets back to the frustrations that I've had about, you know, I really think live shows should be Amnesty now.
Yeah.
Because
I still disagree with that, but we don't need to have that discussion.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that
this is already sort of terrible for our listeners as we're talking about nothing. But
well, that's, I think they should be like a separate feed, just like Taz Live or something. Like, I don't think there's any reason they need to be in the same feed, except that they're basically checking off one of those bi-weekly episodes because they've released a live show. Yeah. Which I think you can accomplish the same thing in two different feeds. They just have so many live shows now that I think it makes sense to put them all together in one spot.
No, well, I don't disagree.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right, Colin.
Well, maybe I'll throw a poll up and we can see how our listeners think about that.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
But
I struggle with managing podcast feeds as it is. So
yeah, right.
I'm curious to see if anybody has a good
app. But so let's actually talk about this episode. We don't need to spend a long time, but I think it was a really good live show and it was a lot of fun and it was worth talking about.
Yeah, it definitely checked all those boxes in the way that live shows normally do. I think the funniest thing is in this one, particularly, I think that it seems like the guys figured out Griffin's puzzles faster.
Yeah.
They figured out the puzzles faster, but then there was a whole bunch of just other bullshit that slowed them down in the process. Like, they figured out the puzzles the fastest they've probably ever done in a live show, and yet still were constantly commenting on how they're running late on time. Which I think just shows at sort of the different attitude they bring to the live show setting and maybe the Balance setting at this period now. But it was certainly funny to hear them sort of like blow through a Griffin puzzle. And he's like, oh, well,
yeah, it's man, done now. Clint solving the this guy always tells the truth and this guy always lies with Zone of Truth was like. So I was sitting in the Austin airport just dying because that was so perfect.
Especially when Griffin goes, I kind of forgot that Zone of
Truth.
Yeah,
right?
Like that is literally the bit for the whole show.
That it's like Clint's go to spell. It's like his abraca fuck you.
Yeah. How could you forget about that when building an episode?
I was gonna say it did. They did have trouble with the first puzzle, with the ghosts, which I thought was funny because you can see that, like, they were trying to make it more complicated than it was.
Yeah,
and so they were just like doing checks and what can I do this? Can I do that? And it was like, yeah, you do it. What are you guys doing? Like, go. Yeah,
they tried to play D&D a little too hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is it's interesting. I think it's sort of a funny thing because I think a lot of the time the humor of the Adventure Zone comes out of poor roles. It sort of builds itself that situation. But I think the live shows have definitely taken on a, it's just funny because they're all fucking funny. And we're mm-hmm. now like abstracting it from any like, oh no, luck has decided that shit's going to go wrong. It's like, no, just do it. Like, what is your stupid plan now? Go ahead, do that.
Yeah, and I think their experience in like improv, the improv world, coupled with now their experience of playing D&D, really ends up with some, you know, stupid ass moments that are very, very funny.
I do think it's interesting. I was pondering this a little bit after this episode. I am getting the impression that they are starting to play. Almost do like a double role play for live shows. So they are playing the characters of themselves who play the characters in the podcast, if that makes sense. Like they have a live show persona that they are putting on, and that persona is then playing Magnus or Taco or Merle. Like they're sort of doing a double level where it's not just them playing D&D anymore. Like they've now abstracted from themselves and put another in between. Like here's live show Clint, and live show Clint is going to play Merle versus just Clint playing Merle, which... must be honestly exhausting to kind of put on that whole thing and get that mental, like that takes a lot of mental fortitude.
Yeah. It's, I mean,
they're basically splitting their LR like a bunch of times.
Right. And I mean, it helps them, I think, tap into that shtick that people are there to see, not to necessarily call it a shtick, but you know, Clint not knowing what he's doing. I did think it was funny when, I think there were moments where they sort of reverted back to just, you know, Travis playing Dungeons and Dragons. Like when Griffin's like, okay, make a saving throw. You failed. You become possessed or whatever. He's like, well, I'm going to use Indomitable so I can get advantage. Like, no, don't do that, man. That's not fun.
Right. Yeah. Let's listen. These rules are serving a different port right now. We're not trying to actually play this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Travis is just, I'm going to play it.
Yeah. So, but that's sort of a funny moment of like a thing we complain about is sort of how the integration of wanting to get the narrative out versus playing the game can sometimes be compromised in Amnesty. And I think that's an example of them maybe doing it kind of the right way in service of the plot, you know, whereas they're ignoring the rules because it's sort of cool, but if they have to all buy into it, whereas, you know, at the moment, Travis was like, no, I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons. I have a way out of this. I can fix this thing you've put in front of me, DM.
Yeah, but I think to your point, the plot is serving a different purpose in a live show. You know, you're going fast and you're trying to make it funny.
Yeah, fast and funny, it's better if you don't figure it out.
Yeah, just roll with it. Just attack Taco.
Fast five.
I think maybe, like, I cast Indomitable is the opposite of yes and, I suppose.
No. Yeah.
It is literally no, but.
I can fix this.
Right, yeah. I see your thing and decide that didn't happen. And end of scene.
I did have to go home and play some Castlevania after this episode, though. The set dressing was just very good.
Yeah, I thought
that... into that Dracul mood.
That was so good, yeah. And when he threw the wine glass down the stairs.
I didn't actually get that part.
Well, yeah, good talk. Okay, well...
Some
of our listeners will have, and just know that we all shared a third of this experience together then.
I mean, it was clearly a reference to something, but I wasn't there.
All right. So that, Colin, you just reminded me of a thing that I am constantly struck by when I listen to McElroy podcast is they have an incomprehensible depth of knowledge of media that I just don't understand how a person has. And then collectively they all have and get. Like the
Turbo Team.
Yeah, so like in this week's Mavim Bam, but in the history of Mavim Bam, in the history of the Adventure Zone, in any other podcast where they show up, they all seem to be able to call on this wealth of media knowledge that I cannot fathom possessing. Like, I know dumb shit. I have a lot of small, mundane trivia inside my brain, but not anywhere near the level that they are capable of pulling out at the drop of a hat and then turning into a bit that people get. And I think is funny regardless of whether I have the context for it. I just don't understand how they could hold all of these bits inside their brains.
So I don't know. I mean, I think that, well, I mean, a part of it is that they were professionally in media for a long time. You know, that's part of their, that job. But I think also, like, it does get back to the fact that we all have weird random shit. You know, you pulled out splitting your LR into a bunch of little pieces. Like, you know, we all have those things that we...
Again, the wells I only that we... read because the McElroys recommended Patrick Rothfuss.
Okay, well, fine.
Old Mabim Bam episode.
But and I think the other part of it is that because they are siblings and because they have grown up together, they have a common language.
Yeah,
you know, fair. And whereas, you know, the three of us have spent a lot of time talking about dumb shit together. Uh-huh. And we have our own language. It's just not, you know, 30-some years developed because we just haven't known each other that long.
Well, also, don't discount the fact that they're, you know, before they were in media, their dad has been in media,
you know. Right. Clint's got years and years of radio, just whatever, and anything else that was going on, I'm sure it just infused into him.
Yeah, and which I'm sure he brought home, you know. It's just, so you're talking about it every day. And then growing up, like you said, Jake, with that connection, you all have the same base of knowledge. Like, I'm sure I have dumb inside jokes with my family that would make no sense to anybody else, but, you know, if it was done right and, you know, we were all naturally funny people and put it on a podcast, other people would appreciate it despite not knowing any of the context.
You know, right. And I think that's the thing that I appreciate the most about it is that they do a really good job of taking everyone, like, it's an inside joke, but it's not an inside joke that makes people feel outside of it. They do a really good job of bringing everyone along on the story and the joke, even if, you know, there's certainly a level you might get to it if you know the reference. Like, I've never seen Turbo Teen. I didn't know Turbo Teen was a thing until they started talking about it on Mabim Bam. And I feel like I have enough of an appreciation for it because of the way they tell these stories that, you know, it's still funny and meaningful.
Gets to a fun question of, like, skewed perspective of what actually Turbo Teen is versus what do you think Turbo Teen is. Like, if you watch Turbo Teen, it was like, this isn't what they were talking about. This is a very serious documentary on a child with automobile syndrome.
maybe that can be our sort of Max Fun type episode where we just watch Turbo Teen and talk about it.
No, if we're doing a Max Fun episode, it's just you two letting me pitch all of my great restaurant ideas and letting the audience then crowdfund them.
I don't hate that.
I don't know what you guys mean by a Max Fun episode.
We're getting that sponsorship, man. My weekly emails are going somewhere.
Yeah, but like every episode that comes out on the Max Fun Network is a Max Fun episode.
A drive episode. Like,
well,
a funny,
that's not
like
what
a funny
you
off topic thing. Like you knew what he meant. Don't fucking be like this.
That's not what you said.
It's what Jake implied. We all knew it.
I did not know it.
Jake and I and the listeners all knew it, and you're just being out.
Well, see, no, this is like an inside joke that I'm not a part of.
Yeah, you're on the podcast.
Well, yeah, but I didn't get to partake in the joy. I was just like, they're all Max Fun episodes. They're all over the place.
This episode art is just like a minimum fun episode. Nailed it.
Crushed it.
So, that's all my thoughts on Dracula, which are none. I don't think I had any comments about the thing, but that's great. It was good. Did it. It's fine.
I love that there were no werewolves.
Thank goodness. I have one theoretical before we wrap up, and it's at the top end of the episode. Griffin asked if they all have a Halloween party together or separate. I wonder what would have happened if they had role-played into them being at different parties and then him having to have... I mean, obviously he had the hypnosis thing to get them all there, but I wonder if they could role-play their way into like them arriving at different places or something very fun where it just didn't work. As I say it out loud, it wouldn't have worked. He would have just made them be there. So that's not very good. I didn't really think it all the way through, but hey, thanks for giving me the airtime for it, boys. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
I just really like the life Merle seems to lead outside of the balance. It's just like an Eeyore. Just,
I'm a footstool.
Yeah.
That'd be a good costume. Especially if you made it so that you could sit down while you're the footstool. Like, standing, it won't make sense, but once you sit down, footstool. It'd be very comfortable.
That's just great.
Just good radio.
Or like Merle's... I've been re-listening to The Suffering Game lately, and his ideal first date, just... She picks me up in her car. I forget my wallet. Right. So you can't go back. We go to dinner at my wife's place with the kids.
I think that we probably don't give Clint enough credit for his role plays. Because I think they're maybe a bit more A, subtle, or B, off the wall. But I think he really is doing a better job than I think he was for a lot of the time.
Well, and I mean, I think that gets back to your point. Like,
yeah,
there is the character Clint McElroy on the Adventure Zone versus Clint McElroy, you know, and those lines, he has always been the best at having that really distinct line, you know, and so some of it, yeah, the incompetence of Merle and the incompetence of Clint playing Merle are part of all of that, like, baked in. And I think it's much easier to see now that we have someone like Ned, who is a fundamentally different kind of character. You know?
Right.
His bumbling is a little more purposeful.
Yeah, when the bumbling is a grift, you get to see what Clint's actually doing.
Yeah, which I think is what he was doing for balance, just like a layer back.
Yeah, and we just didn't have anything else to compare it to.
Yeah, it's we see Ned lying to people. What we didn't see was Clint lying to us about his,
Yeah, no, that's a good way to look at it.
Folksy charm.
Seems deeply insightful. That's far too insightful for our podcast.
It may not actually be insightful. It may just seem that way. That's what I always go for. Just, you know, just polish it. It may be shit, but if it's polished, it'll sound good. Now I've let all of our listeners into my secret.
Okay, but tell me how polishing something makes it sound good.
Think about it. Think about it. Keep thinking. No. Keep thinking. That you got it.
I hate this. This is nothing. What? There's no polish button in the editing software. Like, you can't right click and hit polish.
They don't call it polish. They call it auto tune.
Ooh, we should do an auto tune episode.
That's what I was thinking.
And nobody else.
Well, that's two of three. That's a majority.
Oh, no, I'm on my phone looking for auto-tune apps. I'm very engaged in that idea.
Perfect. Yes. Well, let's wrap up with some hopes and dreams for next week, next 2 weeks, amnesty. Well, I guess it's next week for us, but 2 weeks for them. Fuck. What are your hopes and dreams for the next amnesty episode?
That it's an amnesty episode. That's pretty much what I got.
I kind of hope they get the Flophouse gang to sub in and do Hogs Bottom 3 reunion in the amnesty world.
A Hogs Bottom 3, but they're the Pine Guard from Paris.
And yeah.
Do terrible French accents the whole time.
Yes. Yes, that is... I didn't realize that's what I wanted, but that's what I wanted. And also, Pigeon dies.
Yeah, that sounds
good. I don't know what the French word for tree is, but they could be the arbol amigos.
Is that French?
Spanish.
It's Spanish. But they're not the tree friends. They're the Pine Guard.
Well, yes, but... I was trying to,
We are a very domestic podcast, Jake. We need to just keep it local.
Also, why does...
It was funny in my head.
Why does you not knowing the French word for tree matter in that thing you just said?
It doesn't. Jesus. This is going to be a nightmare to edit later. Just so much.
Fuck. Yeah, but think about all the poor people who have to listen.
I know. I might just put a disclaimer at the front of this and be like, just skip it. Just don't. This one isn't. Take this 30 minutes and go for like a walk or something. Don't do this. I hope Mama comes back. That's what I got.
I'm gonna take drops a later, truth Jake. Bomb.
Pass Jake's book and say, Mama comes back.
From where? Where is she?
I don't know, but she didn't take her truck, so she had to walk.
She probably had IKEA.
She's out buying some homewares.
Yeah, and she got lost.
She got lost in the marketplace. She was like, oh, maybe I do need more rugs. Fuck, I have so many rugs.
No, see, it's more like particle board monster rugs. Containment units.
Mm-hmm. How many Calax bookshelves do you need to put together to contain one you know, abomination? I think it'd be 8. And then, well, you need something for the roof, though.
Wait, so what? Maybe 9. How are you arranging the 8?
Well, you buy the 4x2 one, right? And then you do 2 on top of each other for each side. So that's 8. And then you need a roof.
What about the floor? They'll just fall out of the floor.
Well, presumably they're on the ground.
Well, now that's just a presumption you did not previously state.
Did you think I was building a floating cage in the sky?
Yeah, I mean, I thought you wanted to be transportable, like a containment unit. So you can just move the whole unit and the person trapped within without... I guess
that's what all the rugs are for, I suppose.
Interesting.
Not really, but...
Well, sure. I'm just imagining like trying to move it with a giant crane and all that supporting the bottom of this cage of... Calyxes, or however it's pronounced, is a bunch of rugs stapled onto the bottom.
I mean, it's big staples. It'd be good. It'd be good staples.
Does IKEA sell staples?
No.
Huh.
But the Home Depot that's inevitably next door does.
Is there a Home Depot always next to an IKEA? IKEA?
I mean, I don't know. There is one next to the one in Southern Mass that I've been to.
Hmm.
And... there's one next to the one in North Jersey that I've been to.
I've never actually been to IKEA.
How have you furnished any apartment or home you've ever had?
Secondhand IKEA.
There you go.
It's
Well, I think next week we can launch our design and decor blog, which will really dive into really how to best use IKEA to your advantage when getting it third hand from Colin after he's taken all the good bits of it.
It's very hard to portmanteau design and decor.
Thank you so much for listening to We Do That. I don't understand why you've arrived at the end of the episode, but boy, are we glad that you're here. Catch us in 2 weeks when we're back with hopefully more amnesty content. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter @WeDoThat_pod. Don't make it one word. That's another person. or at wedothatpod@gmail.com. We are so thankful to the Early for our intro and outro music, and we are so thankful to you for listening. Please send us your thoughts and theories so we can shamelessly steal them. Bye, everybody.